Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. This is Major League Baseball for Thursday, April 25th. We're running this during the day here on Wednesday. So Tuesday's recap is what you got because we don't know how Wednesday has gone so far. So again, you've already seen this one if you watched yesterday's episode. But again, the first five picks continue to do really well. So for all of those, you can get those on Dub Club as well as the play of the day, which again, I think is going in the right direction now. So we should be doing good there. And of course, that extra credit, first five free pick. If you're with us on Dub Club, you get that delivered to you each and every day. You can also find it for free on Twitter as well. You don't need an account there. You just search for my profile and the Money Line Parlay of the Day. Doing really well lately and now into the positive. Hopefully we win ours there on Wednesday. But again, that link for Dub Club there is in the show description or the QR code there. We'll get you a free trial to start out. Information when you can't watch the show, summaries, full slate of picks, updates on the first five picks, all the full game picks, everything you need, including the Discord chat group. We have a lot of great people. We've cultivated a very good community over there, in my opinion. So check that out if you haven't yet. Quick reminders, of course, if you're looking for information about the model, the community rules, PicksWithTheProfessor.com/new is your place for that. Weather is subject to change at this point. The updates will be on at Dub Club, I believe. And I could be wrong, but I feel like I remember thinking the Yankee Stadium might play a little bit pitcher-friendly on Wednesday night. The game hasn't started yet, but by the time we did the morning update, the wind shifted around. Looks like it's going to be pretty hitter-friendly. So I'm going to give you the weather now. But and it probably doesn't change 9 times out of 10, but that 1 out of 10, it can change. So, again, those updates all on Dub Club. We are projecting an average game. Anything can happen in one game. And so we don't get distracted by one game. Whether it wins or loses, we don't get overly excited or overly sad. We celebrate the wins. You know, the losses are not fun. But the idea is that by projecting an average game and understanding how probability works, we can find profitability in good bets as long as we're playing the right numbers and right prices. Knowing what those thresholds are is what we're going to outline today. But as always, stick what you like and leave the rest. And if you can like the show, that helps us out a lot. So we would appreciate that. Start off here, a bunch of day games on Thursday. Start off 12:35 p.m. Eastern, Brewers and Pirates, a morning game for anybody not on the East Coast. About 50 degrees for this one. Wind will be blowing a little bit out, a little bit of a cross, and that's going to really matter with regards to the total on this one. If it's blowing across with how chilly it is, it's going to play fairly pitcher friendly. But if it's blowing out, that might offset the temperature a little bit. It's a slightly hitter friendly ballpark overall. Blowing out to right field would favor lefties, so it's kind of something to take a note there. With two righties going, you would assume both teams are going to try to stack their lineup with lefties as much as they can. Of course, the problem with both of these teams in that regard is that they both are right-handed heavy. Freddy Peralta and Mitch Keller in this one. Peralta's been fantastic this season. Nothing but praise for him. 190 ERA, low two FIP and XFIP, one of the better pitchers in baseball. So that has him ranked number 10 right now. Again, nothing but good things to say about him. The bullpen's been fantastic. Their offense, after a hot start, again, has been terrible. Pirates kind of in the same boat. After a hot start, it's been pretty terrible as of late. Bullpen good, not quite as good as Milwaukee. And Mitch Keller, kind of an enigma. Probably going to say that he's not as bad as he looked maybe early in the season. Not as good as he looked at his peak, whatever that was, 2 years ago, year and a half ago. He's better than that 4.8 ERA. The underlying metrics put him more like at a 4. Fastball velocity being down a little bit. Definitely a concern. Again, I don't think he's going to be the better pitcher in this one, but he's probably not quite as bad as that ERA. I'm not overly scared at this point. I think when he's had enough innings at this point, he looks okay, which is not what you hope for Mitch Keller, given how good he looked in the last year or two, but from the year or two before that, it's still pretty good. Still a pretty decent pitcher here for the Pirates. It's just tough when you're going up against a guy like Freddy Peralta, who is really, really good. Model says that the Brewers win this 52% of the time. They should be slight favorites. They are slight favorites. Anytime you have Peralta on the mound, you kind of have to feel like it's Brewers or pass, unless the price is just incredibly good. That's the way I'd be looking at it right now. Unfortunately, there doesn't appear to be much value on this game in either direction with the way the current lines are. Who knows how things move around. But we are projecting a low number of runs in this one. But again, big asterisk on the weather, because that wind being kind of diagonal out really is a big question mark if it shifts towards being out or if it shifts towards being across or stays right there and is kind of a maybe a slightish boost to the bats, but not really much of one at all. something to keep an eye on there on what will be a chilly day in Pittsburgh where we are not expecting a lot of runs. Phillies and the Reds, mid-50s to start, upper 50s to close. Another game where the wind is kind of at a diagonal right now, so we're going to keep an eye on that as we get closer. Right now, the wind looks like it might be blowing in a little bit, might be blowing across a little bit. If it's blowing in with this temperature, that's going to really make this ballpark play maybe only slightly hitter-friendly. It's not going to be quite the hitter's haven as it is in the summer. If it's blowing across, it'll still play fairly hitter-friendly, so that could shift things around. The good news, if you're watching the weather on this one, or if you're not a big weather person watching it, the wind will only be about 5 miles an hour, as in Pittsburgh. So maybe that will mitigate the effect a little bit. We're talking probably more tenths of a run than something like in Wrigley, where that would make a huge difference. Zach Wheeler and Nick Martinez. Wheeler's been fantastic. According to Sideline, number 3 best pitcher in baseball, up there towards the top. I mean, nothing more to say other than he's been great. Everything looks great. You know, nothing, no notes, right, on Wheeler. Nick Martinez, I don't know what to make of him. You know, pitched a little bit of the pen already, started a couple games. He's been at times in his career, looked decent. At times in his career, looked terrible. He kind of put all that together, and that's where the model's getting this 106 grade, slightly below average. XFIP, not great. FIP, good. What does that mean? That means he's not allowing home runs quite at the rate we would expect him to. That doesn't bode well given his home ballpark. That can be pretty home run friendly, especially in the summer as we, you know, progress towards that. I'm not overly sold on Nick Martinez. I don't necessarily think he's horrible, just kind of a mixed bag there. And I think he's the big question mark in this game, because depending on which eye you close, which year you look at, how you're viewing him, you can kind of convince yourself he's decent, or you can kind of convince yourself he's terrible. And I think that really is the key to how you're handicapping this. But either way, that Phillies, of course, will have an edge at starting pitcher and really all across the field. The offensive edge a little bit less because this Phillies offense, as I mentioned, just not quite as good as you would think with those names. But the Phillies big pitching edge gives them a 63% chance to win. You can see the A-grade thresholds there on screen, projected total, etc. So hopefully that gives you a good idea of how you might want to attack that game. Red Sox and the Guardians, upper 40s. Chilly afternoon game in Cleveland. The wind will be blowing in from center field, so a little bit of shifting on the wind direction won't matter much. At 10 to 15 miles an hour, folks, this is going to play like a very pitcher-friendly game. I believe in between the time when I ran this initially and now, the Red Sox have put Brent Bello on the IL. So these numbers are going to not mean anything because there's a starting pitcher change. That's, again, one of the benefits of being on Dub Club, is as that stuff happens, at this point, well before the game, plenty of time to adjust. But even if it happens much closer to the game, Snell was scratched, you know, just a few hours before the Giants came here on Wednesday afternoon. I was able to rerun that, and I actually had numbers for the new game before I saw the books have put the line back up. And so it can give you all that information, whether it's close or not, going forward. But again, a very chilly day in Cleveland, wind blowing in. Tristan McKenzie, not good so far this year and very concerning, is the big question mark in this one. The Red Sox offense isn't that good right now. They're dinged up, and the weather and the park and everything lends itself to Boston not scoring very many runs, but McKenzie has not looked good this year, and there's some concerns about his potential health. So that's the big question mark there, is who kind of wins out on this battle of everything points towards Boston not scoring except for McKenzie and whatever exactly is going on with him. Cleveland, on the other hand, offensively has looked pretty strong this year, good bullpen. So, you know, you have to assume the Guardians are favored in this one, and the line should, or the projection should get more favorable towards Cleveland when we plug out Bayo, because of the fact that he is a pretty decent pitcher. So, again, not expecting a lot of runs and would lean Guardians. All about the price, though. We don't want to be playing the Guardians at a price at minus 160. If it was this matchup, of course, depending on who they plug and how it goes, whatever, let's pretend it's Bayo. We wouldn't want to be playing it at minus 160 simply because that would be too steep of a price. But if we can find a good price on this one, good angle to attack the Guardians. It's Guardians are pass, in my opinion. But you might want to have a higher threshold for the value you need because of the concerns with McKenzie. And the same thing with the total, not expecting a lot of runs given the weather, but with whatever's wrong, McKenzie, that could be the wild card in determining how exactly it affects the way you look at this game. White Sox and Twins mid-60s for the totality of this afternoon contest. Wind will be blowing a little bit in or a little bit across, and this is the one that really matters on the weather because it's not like those first two games where the wind will be 5, 6, 7 miles an hour. We're talking about 15-mile-an-hour winds here, either going to be in from right field or across from right field, and that's going to be a fairly big difference in the projected number of runs. You never really expect the White Sox to score a lot of runs. You never expect this iteration of the Twins offense, especially with a couple key guys in IL, to score a lot of runs. But with the White Sox pitching involved, it can obviously throw everything off in their defense, of course, which is not really any better. Mike Soroka has been pretty bad this year, no matter how you look at it. It's just varying shades of bad. And if he continues to pitch like this, he won't be the 30th worst pitcher. It will continue to get lower and lower and lower. Bailey Ober has been very meh. Probably not quite as bad as that upper four ERA. His underlying metrics align pretty well with the projection that we thought of him coming into the season. So decent, mildly good, not great pitcher in Ober. Should have success against the White Sox. The question we have to always ask ourselves at this point with the White Sox is the price worth it? Because you never expect them to win. Model says they win 3 out of 10 times. So if you can get a price like plus 304 for the White Sox, that gives you an A grade. Of course, right now the current price starts with a 1, which is just not good enough for this White Sox team, as bad as they are, as banged up as they are. But of course, the question is the price good enough on the Twins? Probably be the way I'm looking. It's Twins or pass. I'm probably looking at the minus 1. But again, the price you can get really depends on exactly how much you like it. In a game that, again, 8.2 total projected runs for now, but a big question mark on exactly what that win does in order to tell us if it's going to be more like 8.5, you know, 8.6, 8.7, or if it's going to drop maybe into the upper sevens, can kind of swing things a couple different directions here. Blue Jays and the Royals mid-50s for this one. Wind will be blowing mostly across for this one. Rain at the start of this game, so this might be a game that's delayed. The longer it delays, the wind shifts from across to blowing out, so that could affect things. And that's not something that we can model very well necessarily, or at least it's not built into my models. Maybe you can do so if you took the time to do it, but wanting to watch the radar on this one, because if it delays, that could affect and could end up with the wind blowing out a little bit longer. If the rain kind of misses a little bit, it'll be a little bit in to start, a little bit out to finish. It'll kind of be a little variable swirling around there. So a lot of questions on the weather on this one. Pretty strong winds because of the front coming through there. So definitely a weather game to watch here in Kansas City in the afternoon. Weather aside, two pretty good pitchers. Jose Berríos has been fantastic this year. He's not as good as that ERA for those people who look at such things. But the FIP and the XFIP both align in the mid-threes. And it's actually better than what we projected coming in. So his rating is improving. Again, I can say he's not quite as good as that ERA. Still been very, very good for the Blue Jays. A guy that struggled a couple years ago. We looked under the hood, though, and this is why those advanced metrics matter. We looked under the hood with those advanced metrics a couple years ago and said, you know what? I'm not sure it's that bad. People are freaking out over nothing. And sure enough, last year we backed him a ton and made a ton of money off him because people thought he was washed up because he had a high ERA. And again, it just goes back to tell you ERA means not a lot if we have other better information like FIP and XFIP. And other metrics, of course, to look at, you know, when you can dive under, look at left on base percentage, home run rate, etc. Cole Reagans for the Royals. His results, again, another great example of ERA is not a good story. His ERA 4.32, not representative of all. The underlying metrics are very positive for him. I am not discouraged from what I've seen by him. If you're a Royals fan, don't be discouraged by that. I still think he's very good. Still say from the very beginning of the season, I thought he was being a little bit overvalued early in the season because I think people were just saying, oh, well, that crazy start, or crazy end of the season the year before, going to win a Cy Young. It's like, he hadn't done that much yet. Let's hold off on that. And now, as with most things in life, the truth is somewhere in the middle, right? Maybe let's not freak out about the fact that he's given up a few runs. A FIP of 2, he's going to be just fine. Still a very good pitcher. And I'm going to maintain the same story I said all along. Very good, not elite. And I think that's still what we have here. So I think both these pitchers really good. No reason to think that either one of them is going to necessarily struggle. Here's the thing. The Blue Jays still, we've been talking about this for years now, still a very right-handed heavy team. They have not addressed that. They kind of did a little bit last year when they added Brandon Belt, but now he's gone. They replaced Question mark. Him with Joey Votto, who's still sitting at AAA, so it doesn't really matter because they really didn't replace him with that, right? Still going to be better. So that's going to be the issue that Cole Reagans has this game, not him at not pitching well, just the fact that the Blue Jays are one of the best lineups in baseball against left-handed pitching. It's definitely towards the top. Overall, they're still good. Was very concerning early on, took them a second to get going, but ever since then, really that first week or so, the grade for them is just starting to climb as they've really started to perform like we thought they would after a very, very slow start. Royals offense, very respectable. This should be a really good game here. Model gives the Blue Jays a slight edge and says they win 52% of the time. Close to an A grade on the Blue Jays right now. Not quite there, but definitely it's Blue Jays or pass. And this is not anything against Cole Reagans. It's just the fact that the Blue Jays against a lefty should have some success. And so the fact that we're getting a current price around even money is around that A grade threshold. I'm not playing the Blue Jays at minus 115, but if you get around even money, it's probably worth an investment on them because they should win this slightly more than half the time. Total projection is 9. This is one of those classic games where if you can get over 8.5, great. If you can get under 9.5, great, because 9's going to have a little bit of weight of probability to it. The caution after in the total, wait until we get closer to this game to see about the weather and see what the wind's going to do if the game happens to be delayed. Because if the wind shifts mostly to out from a delay happening later in the day than is what's automatically brought into my system, that projected total could easily climb to 9.5 or 10, and then under 9.5 would not be a play that I'd be looking to make. Astros and the Cubs are on 50 degrees in Chicago. Wind will be blowing mostly in on this one, about 10 miles an hour, when you always have to check the weather at Wrigley as it gets closer. There's a reason that many books, especially your sharp books, do not hang a run line and do not hang a total on this game, on any game at Wrigley Field, until the morning of, because they want to be more sure of the weather. So if the weather holds right now, it's going to play very pitcher-friendly, which with the way that Verlander looked at his first start, I'm not going to say he's back to his Cy Young form, of course, but that was very positive, very encouraging. As an Astros fan myself, given all the starting pitching injuries they've had, that's encouraging. That's the only encouraging thing the Astros have going for them right now. We've been fading the heck out of them as of late. Don't know if we will on this one or not. Javier Saad, not a bad pitcher in his own right. These are two decent pitchers. The Astros have the better offense. And I know that, you know, they haven't really performed that great. And the Cubs offense looked pretty solid to start the season. Astros have the better bullpen. I know that they haven't looked good to start the season. There's just no arguing the following point. You know, we should not take 3 or 4 weeks of data and act like that is all that matters and last year's data doesn't mean anything. And I'm not saying this 3 or 4 weeks doesn't matter. I'm just saying last year also does matter. We have to figure out a way to balance that. Now, how much we balance that, that is, of course, not an exact science. And there's things that we can use from historical data and trends to try to figure out the best weighting to use and how to proceed. But as I was mentioned, from team to team and player to player, those weights could differ. And we're never going to get it perfect. We're just trying to get it close. As much as the Astros team has struggled, they're still good. They're still a much better team than this. They still project to win more games than they lose going forward. That doesn't mean you can take away the losses they have. Those losses they have are banked. It's done. Nothing you can do about that. And that's going to obviously put them in a little bit of a bind going forward. But going forward, they still should be better than this. Now, as we get later in the season, who knows if there will be the team shuts down mentally or the grind of playing in 100 straight ALCSs. If that were, I don't know. And the starting pitching situation, if I think about finally, I have no idea how that'll play out later on. But the thing we have to remember is we've been fading the Astros because the price has been good enough to do so. At some point, that's going to flip. I don't know when it is. And that doesn't mean we want to jump right on the Astros. We want to pick our spots. But at some point, the Astros team is still decent. And they probably shouldn't be treated like the best team in the American League. And they still were last week when we faded them. I don't know. We faded them like 6 straight games. I think we won all 6 of them. 7 now with the Cubs. I think we get the Cubs first 5 here on Tuesday. So I think we faded them like 7 straight. I think we've won 6 of 7. The Astros won one of those games. So we faded them 7 straight games. We won 6 out of 7. Because in those 7 games, the Astros are priced like they're the best team in the American League. And we can't ignore these 3 or 4 weeks. We can't say that's all that matters. And the truth is, using that data to help us out, this team is maybe not quite as good as that. So all that's to say, as the market adjusts and stops treating them that way, that's going to then create a shift in the price to make it more profitable for us to back them. I don't know when that's coming. It might be happening now. I don't know. Verlander is at least a pitcher you can trust. I don't trust Arrieta. I don't trust JP France. I don't trust, you know, Hunter Brown at this point either. So if we're going to back the Astros because the price starts getting better, because they start, maybe they start getting treated like they're mediocre and they're still better than that. When we want to start backing them, we at least want to pick our spots for our pitcher. Verlander is at least the guy to do that with. So all that to say right now, model says the Astros should be favored. They are favored. Not a lot of value at the current price. Maybe that'll change. Maybe the winds are starting to shift a little bit. And what I mean by that is we were seeing massive value fading the Astros last week. This week, it's starting to get a little bit closer. My model in the market is starting to converge a little bit. And if that continues to move forward, then it will be, we'll start backing the Astros at some point. Again, not sure when or where. We got to make sure that the pitcher's good enough, but the Astros are favored here and they should be favored here. So what I'm saying is the price isn't good enough right now to fade the Cubs or to fade the Astros, even though it's what we've been doing a lot of and it's been working because the market's adjusting, you know, as we speak, basically. But again, definitely check the weather on this one. For that total projection right now is 8.2, but that could change wildly given that park. Mariners and Rangers still in the afternoon here, 2:35 p.m., mid-70s, another day in Arlington where they could open the roof if they choose to do so. Luis Castillo and Andrew Heaney. I'm not a big Andrew Heaney fan. Model's not a big fan of him. Luis Castillo, much better in the ERA. Don't be distracted by the fact he's given up a few runs. When you look under the hood, he's fine. He'll be great going forward. Massive starting pitching edge here for the Mariners. Model says they win 55% of the time. Why is it only 55% of the time if they have a massive starting pitcher edge? Well, they're on the road. The Rangers offense against righties is a little bit better than the Mariners offense against lefties. And the Mariners bullpen edge isn't that big. So the big edge the Mariners are going to have only holds for the first 6-ish innings, and then it diminishes. Mariners should be favored. They are favored. As always, the question is the price good enough? You can see the thresholds there on screen. If we can get minus 110, that's close enough to an A grade, I'd be pulling the trigger there, but I don't see a minus 110 right now. So the Mariners are the way I would lean, but as always, looking for the best price possible. One way you can do that, make sure you have multiple books in your arsenal. If you don't have an account there yet, BetUS is a place to be. Link in the show description. 125% bonus on your first ever 3 deposits.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first 3 deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
3:10 p.m. Eastern, Padres in the Rockies. A beautiful day on Denver. If you're able to get out and catch an afternoon day of baseball, this is the game you want to be at. From an enjoyment standpoint, maybe not the best pitching in the world, but low 70, slight breeze blowing out. Runs could be coming. We've been playing a lot of unders at Coors Field here, partially because the weather in April being very cold, winds blowing in, partially because this Rockies offense I have absolutely zero faith in. Still don't have a lot of faith in them, but with that park on a day like this, AAA teams will be able to score some runs because routine fly balls are going to turn into home runs. So a day that could have a lot of offense, which is why you will see a fairly large projected total on the next screen, given how bad the Rockies offense is. Randy Vasquez for the Padres looked good with the results. Things went well for him in his first start. Underlying metrics, a little bit of a concern. One start, not really going to mean too much anyway. Still say he's relatively just meh. Should have success against the Rockies, but at Coors, again, who knows? Anything can happen in that park on a day like this. To go to Hudson, not great. Has been serviceable with regards to he's eaten innings. That's about all you could say, unfortunately. The Padres are big favorites here. They should be big favorites here. The model does give the Rockies a larger home field advantage than any other team in baseball and still can only get them to a 40% win probability. Right now, looking at it, you'd be at about a B grade with the Padres. Again, who knows where the number goes on this one. It's Padres or pass for me, but again, we have to keep in mind games get weird at Coors Field. It's the one park where I'm a little bit more likely to take a -1.5 than any other ballpark because the extra runs creates extra variance, extra chances for, you know, big innings and big run discrepancies, especially with a road team. So without a run line market really established yet, not running to the window to do anything here, but I'm not looking to back the Rockies at this price because I just don't see them winning at a high enough clip to be worth the current price, given that I have very little faith in Dakota Hudson, very little faith in the totality of their relievers, very little faith in their offense. There could be runs and weird things can happen, so that makes me a little bit nervous to put too much on the Padres. That doesn't mean I'm backing the Rockies either. There's some times where we want to just minimize our wager or sometimes just pass, and those are kind of some options here anytime Coors is involved. Rockies in the road, pretty decent fade. Almost blindly, not literally, but almost. We've only backed them a couple times on the road here this season, but at home, they're a little bit harder to fade. So again, I don't expect them to win this game, but again, 4 out of 10 things do happen. So just be careful on the price here. Be thinking about maybe a run line on the Padres, and I'd be really curious to see where this total market ends up because these Rockies games have not had a lot of runs in them yet. I'm wondering how the market will react to that. But on a day like Thursday, sets up to have a lot of runs. Rockies putrid offense aside. Dodgers and the Nats, 4:05 p.m. Eastern, the last afternoon game, around 60 degrees for this game. Wind will be blowing in at 5 to 10 miles an hour. It's going to make the hitter-friendly nature of Nationals Park pretty much cancel out and play pretty average. Yamamoto is going for the Dodgers. Underlying metrics, he looks great. You have to be very pleased. If you're a Dodgers fan, if you own this guy, if you roster him in Dynasty, Fantasy, whatever type thing, full steam ahead, he's a good pitcher. Like what I've seen from him. Mackenzie Gore, same thing. Actually, underlying metrics for him, incredibly encouraging. As I mentioned, I believe last week when we took Mackenzie Gore against the Astros, there's a real good chance we're seeing the Mackenzie Gore breakout season happening before our eyes right here, that he's a prospect who we've been high on and last year didn't quite put it together. That's why his grade's still a 96. We can't ignore last year either. But with these young guys, what he's done so far, if he's able to continue that, his grade's going to improve really quickly. You have to really like what you've seen from him if you're a Nats fan. And the benefit for him in this game is that the Dodgers are fairly left-hand heavy, so that number one rated offense gets a pretty big ding that's built into these calculations because Gore being a lefty and a bunch of the top Dodger hitters being left-handed, helping the Nationals as they're also a little bit left-hand heavy facing a righty, so that helps the Nats out a little bit. Brings this game closer to the Nats having a chance. That said, the Dodgers are big favorites in this one, and they should be big favorites. That doesn't mean they'll win. Doesn't mean they'll cover the run line. It just means that they are favored like they should. Looking at it right now, the price looks pretty steep on the Dodgers. We leaned the Dodgers on Tuesday, liking the Dodgers here on Wednesday. We'll see how that plays out for us. But Thursday, the price right now, pretty steep. We'll see about the run line in the morning. Maybe there'll be an opportunity there. But right now, it looks kind of like Nats or pass. And I do love backing Mackenzie Gore. Another angle on this one could be a first five under. It is a massive sweat. Anytime the Dodgers offense is involved to take a first five under, knowing that you're going to get that top of the lineup probably three times. But I like both of these starting pitchers. And so finding a way to back them, whether it's first five under or full game under, could make a lot of sense. As always, all about the price. If I could take an under 9, I would. If I could take a first five under 5, I would. So it'd be kind of the numbers I'm looking towards. But again, want to see all the available options on the side before locking anything in there. But again, hopefully those numbers give you a way to attack this game come Thursday. And then one night game, A's and the Yankees, mid to low 40s. For this game, wind will be blowing a little bit in, a little bit across. But Yankee Stadium is going to play very pitcher friendly yet again here on Thursday night. It's been that way for most of the games this season. Not all up again, I believe. Wednesday's going to actually be hitter-friendly, one of the few hitter-friendly games that we've seen there this season. And there will be plenty of hitter-friendly games at Yankee Stadium come summer when it's warmer. But at the beginning and end of the season, you see some pitcher-friendly games here at Yankee Stadium, and this is going to be one of them. Alex Wood needs all the help he can get. Not as bad as his ERA looks, but the underlying metrics a FIP and an XFIP both in the fives. I mean, that's not good. Those are relatively stable metrics. They converge quicker. There's a lot of reasons we like them. There's a lot of reasons I talk about them a lot. Five's bad. In the fives is bad. Oxwood just has not been what the A's have hoped for. I think they have to be pleased with what they've got from Stripling, but Alex Wood just has not been that case. Doesn't mean he can't turn around, but so far I would say not so good. The benefit for him, pitcher friendly night, Yankees are left-handed heavy, he's a lefty. That said, the Yankees still should put up some runs against him. On the flip side, Nestor Cortez started to turn it around here, looking pretty decent after a couple of shaky maybe outings early on, was a little bit concerned, but things are starting to kind of fall into place for him. All the metrics and everything you look at look pretty reasonable. They all align pretty well. And in fact, he might be doing a little bit better this year than we thought coming into the season. So things are going starting to go well for him here as we progress towards the middle of the season. Yankees bullpen grading out worse by the day, it seems like. Bullpen, I believe, was their strength last year, and that's not the case. Of course, they lost a couple key pieces over the offseason. They are big favorites. They should be big favorites. Unfortunately, they're priced that way, too. The current price I'm seeing, minus 235, would offer no value on either side. And so, typically speaking, and you need all this information, all these summaries, everything you can cross-reference with what your book has, what the model says, over on Dub Club, typically speaking, if we think that a team is priced too steep on the money line, they're probably priced too steep on the run line. That's very rare where that's not the case. Usually the edges are within a percent or two. And again, as a reminder, just because they are a bad pick by themselves, it doesn't mean they can become a good pick if you put them in a money line parlay. We do talk about some money line parlays, but every pick we put in the money line parlay we think is priced well individually. And the only reason we're doing a two-team parlay is to manage or bankroll a little bit. I know a lot of people like to do that, and we're trying to find ways to say, hey, there's a pretty big edge here if you're playing a team minus 190, but I know you don't want to play a team minus 190 maybe. And so here's another way you can get some money down on that team and kind of offset the hurt of some of those steep odds. The Yankees right now would not be in that boat where I would say that makes sense, because a bad pick, because it's overpriced, doesn't just become better once it gets in the parlay. The reason why the risk still is not outweighing the reward, and this is one of the reasons why moneyline parlays can be dangerous and we have to treat them with caution. Not to say the price can't get better, not to say we wouldn't be on the Yankees on a minus one or something like that. I have no faith in Alex Wood, but right now the problem is the market realizes Alex Wood isn't good, and they're pricing it that way. And so we have to make sure that we are limiting ourselves on these crazy high prices and only playing them when the odds or when the probabilities align for us. In this case, Yankees winning 7 out of 3 times, probably win, but they could lose. They lost on Monday, and that wasn't really something anybody expected, and they only won by one on Tuesday. So if you're sitting here going, oh, the Yankees are much better than the A's, and you backed them on the run line twice, you lost money. If you backed them on the money line twice because the steep odds, even though you went 1-1, you lost money. So that's why we've been saying here, we have to be careful with some of these big minus odds. You probably already know that I'm probably preaching to the choir. That said, the price isn't good enough to back the A's either. So maybe the first five market will offer an opportunity for us. Maybe the total market will. It's going to be a very chilly night. If we could get it under 9, that would be great. Don't know where the number will be on the total, though. And so for right now, again, just leaving you with the information, a projection of 8.1, under 9, obviously a fun play if it is possible. That's all I've got here for today. Check out Dub Club if you haven't yet. QR code or the link in the show description. We'll get you started with a free trial, lots of information summaries. Hopefully make it worth your while. The Discord chat group for some people is worth it by itself. Best of luck today, as always. And remember, if you need your betting money, but please don't bet your eating money.